In the house down. That's good. Good, good, good. Oh, I think you might be able to find this one. Make your way to Psalm 23. If you got the family news in front of you, if you look in the back, it'll kind of catch you up with what we're praying about in three categories. We're praying about our children's ministry, but not so much again, even though we do numerically want the children's ministry to grow, that the hearts of the young children will teach us as adults how to have a kingdom type of heart. Jesus said that unless we become like the little children, then we're not going to be able to understand the kingdom work that he has to teach us. So we got a lot to learn. We got cravings. We got to have fun in God's kingdom. We got to enjoy praising him and being obedient to him. And so we'll be praying about that. Also, praying about our finances, being not just a good steward, but making sure we understand that this is not the church. This is a facility out of the rain and the cold. We are the church. We are the called out ones to leave darkness and walk in the light as he is the light, and that we'll be good stewards, that we will be obedient with the finances that are gathered. Help brothers and sisters who have legitimate needs. Help our community when they have legitimate needs. And then also just provision of helping people to go out and spread the gospel, either through support of someone to teach other people, but also to teach the church how to spread the word, and to be able to have that time with each other. Also, to teach the church how to visit and kind of join in the ministry of being ministers of God. And all of us are called to ministry. So we're thankful for that. Right now, we've been talking about the prayer for those who will lead us. We talked, first of all, how God used both men and women to be servant leaders and the different areas that he called certain women and certain men to be able to lead in. But as we are kind of setting up looking at, too, hearts of families here, especially for those who are mature in Christ, that the brothers would consider being spiritual leaders of this flock. And so we want to continue to look at the word. And no better passage to look at the task of an elder than Psalm 23. I mean, we're gonna look at in Psalm 23 definitely God as the shepherd. Lord's willing, next week we'll talk about and look in John chapter 10 as Jesus is the chief shepherd. But it's all an example to men who would desire to have a role that had a task of providing spiritual growth for the flock. Now, both of it is individually and congregationally. And we need to learn how that happens, how certain men can be chosen. And we'll talk about this word elder next week a little bit more. Why is it called an elder? We'll talk about the different things it's called in Scripture. But I really want you to focus on that we're not talking about, like in a political way, somebody who holds a position but doesn't do the task. The task is done by the disposition of a heart. And God's able to shepherd his flock through men who desire to do the task of spiritual maturing of sheep that come into the kingdom. Anything outside of that, we're going to learn deacons' roles, how they assist on certain matters of taking care of some of those maybe physical needs, legitimate needs of brothers and sisters that have in need, being the good steward of what is given, so that the role or the task of a shepherd will be spiritually, not physically. And I think I can show you in Scripture why that happens, because for one thing is, when you look at Scripture, you find out. You don't find church buildings. Yes, they have temples and synagogues and all that stuff. They met there because they had already been built, but they met in synagogues and in the temple courts on a daily basis. Reason why is because that's where the people came. And they hadn't heard about Jesus yet, and they needed to find out about Jesus. And so the church would go and say, let me tell you about this Jesus. He is the Messiah. What you heard about him might have been true and might have been false. Let me tell you what is true about Jesus. And that's why they met. And so hopefully our congregation will be able to embrace all of us as brothers and sisters, that it may be different than the norm, but I'd rather be pleasing God than normal with what we have made it. Okay, so be thinking about that, because it will be a little uncomfortable, it will be a little challenging, can be a little overwhelming, but it doesn't have to be, and we'll talk about that more. Now, have you ever heard it said, a picture can speak 1,000 words? Okay. I want you to look at this picture. Take some time. I want you to close your eyes. Open your eyes and look at the picture again. What's it telling you? I permit you to speak at this moment. Anybody want to volunteer? What's it telling you? Anything? Any words? What's that? Shepherd will carry the sheep. Now, we don't know the reason why, right? But the shepherd will carry the sheep. I'm coming back here because of my lack of hearing. Who talked? Oh, Don? No? Sally. Over here. Oh, Sally. Maybe the sheep was sick. Okay. All right, maybe he's carrying them back to the fold, even though it seems he's walking away from it, but we don't know what's surrounding him, right? The sheep what? The sheep truck. I don't know about you, but if I was put in that position, I'd probably be a little squirmy. So trust the shepherd carrying. Okay. Here's me. Hey, where are you going? Yeah. Yeah. Anything about the field? Yeah, it looks like I got plenty of food, right? I don't see any bare ground right here, right? It looks like it's pretty healthy. The sheep are content, all right? Which we're going to find out a little bit, nature of the sheep. Okay, and you'll find out You guys look more like sheep. I'm not saying literally, but in our characteristic nature, we're more like sheep than we want to be. No. Anything else, real quick? Pardon me? Okay. Okay. Yeah. One big one here. I know, all these are painting a picture. I mean, the sheep could be sick, could be lame, could have hurt itself, maybe started to stray away. Do you notice the other sheep being in a herd? Okay, now you got to hold on to that, because in biblical ways, when it's described about the task and role of a shepherd, I mean, David was a man after God's own heart. Now, I get questioned a lot. Well, how in the world is David after a man's own heart when he lusted after Bathsheba and did what he did? I'm saying, well, that's not the heart that God was after. What I believe God was saying is that David had a heart like his in shepherding sheep. And he pulled David from the sheep pen to shepherd his people. So he'll use shepherding skills to shepherd people. And you got to hold on to that, because that's what's going to form our understanding of what a task of an elder pastoral role, elder teacher. And then we're going to look at the formation of the qualities that's learned in a family and why that's so important. Okay, but today we just want to talk about Psalm 23. Follow along with me. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. And surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If you would, bow your heart. Oh God, the Creator of heaven and earth. The heavens being this whole universe. The earth being the dwelling place of your creation. The one that you desire to have a relationship with. And yet, Father, we have all have decided to go down our own path. And we've strayed. And yet you, as being the shepherd of those in the time frame of we read in the Old Testament, before Jesus ever came on the picture, before you became flesh, you were shepherding people. You used people like David because he had a heart for shepherding and changed it from shepherding of sheep to shepherding your children. And Father, there's ways to learn what you intended for leaders who would take on a task of shepherding would do in individual lives and in our lives as a whole. Father, I pray that you'll just use this morning our 4 points of how you are a shepherd, a model for those who may desire to shepherd your people here, a one that we need for our own spiritual care, our own spiritual longing, and our own spiritual feeding. And when we're sick or we're lame or we start to stray away from your goodness, that we have a loving shepherd who will come and share. And if we need carried, that it would carry us back to where we need to be. I pray for the church. I pray for our church family. That we understand that we need guidance. We need you to lead us. We need leaders leading us to you. And Father, that we need to admit when we're starting to fall astray, that you don't want to harm us. You don't want to hurt us. It's just that we're so immature in our free will that we'll misuse it to go our own way. And our own way, if it's not your way, separates us from you. And we don't want to be separated from you. But it's going to take us wanting to be around other sheep. And I pray that you'll draw this congregation in more to the one another church family like no other church has ever seen before. And especially for the community that lives around us, that they'd seen nothing like it. People wanting to be together and people wanting to listen to your commands and people wanting to follow. We thank you for this example this morning, and I pray that you will use the words that I speak to bring glory to your name. It's through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I offer up this prayer. And anyone here in this room agrees with the words I just spoke to you, we say together, amen. 4 P's. The theme of Psalm 23 is this. God is seen as a caring shepherd and a dependable guide. We must, and I've got to just really emphasize, we must, as individuals, follow God and obey his commands. Now, we have to examine to make sure we're not following maybe something that the church has set up. Sometimes we can follow our own traditions to the point to where we nullify the word. So we need to follow God and we need to obey his commands. Some of the best commands that I believe that sheep, in order to want to be together and stay together and eat together and share life together, is that they live out the one another commandments that Jesus said, you need to love as I have loved you. Now, how that goes about, it could be in small groups, it could be in doing ministry together, but we can't get locked into this once attended faithful idea of that I'm just a part of a club, and when I leave the club, I get to live the life that I want to live, and then I just go about doing my own thing, and then next week I'll join the club again. We can't have that. That's not what God calls us to. I might not be able to meet with all of you on an everyday basis, but there is a way in our technology world that everyone here in this room can either connect or be connected to somebody on a daily basis. Receiving encouragement, receiving verses, receiving prayer. That's the mission of God. Then you get to enjoy sports together, and then you get to enjoy all those other things that come along with it. But then those things become a mission. Because as long as there's people involved in those areas, there's people who need God in those areas. There's people in my neighborhood that need to know the Lord and maybe have the only opportunity to see the Lord in action through me. We got to believe that. And we got to understand that. So here's the four P's, and then we're going to get, because heaven's just about ready to explode, so I'm going to rush through here. Okay? Here we go. Number one, what's a shepherd do? What's a loving, caring shepherd? This is models for shepherds here. Those who would desire in a willful way to do this task. The first P is a shepherd provides. Now, what's a shepherd provide? I believe when it says here that I lack nothing and that I have green pastures, God's trying to say in a spiritual way, shepherds provide what is needed for the sheep to grow spiritually and to mature. I don't know about you, and I haven't spent a whole lot of time around sheep, but what I believe I hear about the description of sheep is sheep need to be guided, to put it politely. Because they'll naturally wander off. They'll naturally not want to stay within the herd. All sheep, every single one who decides to become born again into the kingdom of God is now in God's sheep pen and needs guidance to grow more maturity. Because at their birth, it's the beginning, it's not the end. To represent Jesus Christ to the world takes a transforming process of spiritual growth, and to help each other do that. But we need shepherds who guide us in that. All that a sheep needs is supplied by God, and a shepherd knows that. As sheep, we need not to desire more than what God will provide. We don't need riches of this world unless God says, here's the riches to use for my glory. If he calls us to be wealthy, use it for his glory and be thankful for that. But he may be even helping you if you never gain wealth, because he might know something about you that could lead you astray from him if you have it. If the Lord provides it, that's all we need. That's all we need. He makes me lie down in green pastures. I've been asked a lot, what's that mean? Well, first of all, you got to remember, sheep are timid animals. Very timid. They don't like sitting down and relaxing. They're not lazy. They're constantly wandering. And they got to be assisted to lay down and take some comfort and some rest. Getting a sheep to lie down is not easy as you think it is. Sheep will not lie down because of fear. Sheep will not lie down because there's friction in the herd. I read this article about being a shepherd of sheep, and it's hard to keep the herd together if the herd's at each other. And if there's friction amongst the herd, the sheep scatter. Sheep will not lie down if there are enemies. Now, I know this is simple, but I tell you one thing. I don't know if you spend a lot of time around animals in the summertime, but I don't know how they deal with all those nasty flies and parasites. And if there's a lot of them, a sheep won't lie down and find any kind of comfort. Sheep will not lie down if it's hungry. It will always be browsing around. So a shepherd will provide. Number two, a shepherd pilots the path. Sheep needs guidance, needs a model, needs mentors. But of what? I believe the role of an elder, pastor, shepherd is men who desire, along with their family, with their wives, to help guide, help model, help mentor other sheep to the path of righteousness. You can't lead people down the path of righteousness if you're not on the path. It's very hard. All you'll do is lead them down the path you're on. And so we need shepherds that will be walking the path of righteousness. Now, the rod and the staff to bring comfort is usually used for guidance. I used to think God was an angry God when it thundered and lightning. I used to think that you remember the whole thing with the staff? I thought how thunder happened when I grew up was this. God was up there, he was mad at me, and he just hit the floor of heaven, kaboom, with that hooked staff, and if he could wring my neck, he would take a hold of my neck and twist it. Because I had that curve on the end of the staff, right? You know what a staff and rod was meant for? Yes, it was to get in front of the sheep, to guide its feet, to keep it focused on the path. And then the leader needed to have a little bit of leverage to get it back towards the herd. But it was to guide them back. It wasn't to harm them back. It is a gentle persuasion that you're going off onto the wrong path. You're getting away from the herd. You need to be piloted back to the path of righteousness. I don't know about you, but how many people who are Christians, after they become a Christian, depends on how long, they actually start going back to the old ways? A shepherd guides them back to the path of righteousness because that's the path he's on. I'm going to skip over this one. I'll share with you later about this valley of the shadow of death. Psalm 23 wasn't totally meant for preachers just so they can have an outline during a funeral. Okay? That's not what it was meant here, but it has something to deal with death and why it doesn't have to sting. Okay? So number three, protects. A shepherd protects the sheep. Any dangers along the journey, could be wolves out there, could be something wanting to destroy the sheep, and we protect them. I believe elders, pastors, teachers are those who are protecting the sheep from Satan's schemes. He gets to know his enemy, and when you get to know your enemy, you get to teach the sheep how to avoid what the enemy's trying to do. Number four, he prepares and he pours. A shepherd prepares a sheep by giving what is needed when an enemy is present. That's why you can sit at the same table of your enemies and still be able to serve them like you would serve somebody who was your friend. this pouring over, anointing with oil. We probably don't do enough. But it's a symbolization of this. It's a symbolization of covering their whole life and their whole being with the Holy Spirit of God. That's anointing with oil. They did it a lot in biblical times. We would want the Holy Spirit to be on somebody and covering their life. It could be symbolized. There's nothing wrong with anointing people with oil when they understand what is going on. There's nothing wrong with washing each other's feet. Because Jesus said, go and do likewise, but he wasn't talking about the symbolization. He was talking about serving each other. Here's Acts 20. I'm going to leave this with you. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. Is it a tremendous task? Yes. Is it a noble task? Yes. Do it God's way, you'll never regret it. You'll watch lives change because you cared. So I invite you this morning, Isaiah chapter 53. Ryan and I, during communion, was reading this chapter. The foreknowledge of Jesus before he comes, some 700 years before he got here. And here's the description Isaiah gives. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. We have someone this morning that's going to come to a fountain that is free. But this fountain is for you and it's for me. And get ready to join the angels in heaven. If you want to be brought back to the sheep herd, and you want to be brought back to the shepherd, you can respond as well. This is an open invitation. And it's open 24/7. 7-Eleven thought they had something. Ah, church has got something better. 24/7, open invitation, respond to God. As together we stand and sing.
There's a fountain free, 'tis for you and me. Let us haste, oh haste, to its brink. 'Tis the